It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Here we go! The fourth to final hour of the Rob Brown Radio program starts right now. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Rob Brown. The great Milonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass this AM. Should you wish to be a part of the radio broadcast, now is a spectacular opportunity for you to do it. The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is open for you. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. The text line is open at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air.
Hey, I have a dilemma, Rob. Okay, so I want to, because you've been doing this like every hour, and we need to do it again this hour. I want to tell everybody that we've been nominated for 3 Star Awards, but every time I throw up the 3, I feel like I'm doing a gang sign. So how do you, because if you turn it this way, isn't that east side? And you turn it this way, it's west side?
No, that is not west side.
This is not.
No, it is not.
Oh, west side is this.
There it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. No, oh, well,
there it is.
I don't know. So just holding up 3 is okay.
Correct.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because you were doing it like this. You were doing this.
Well, you can go 3.
Yeah, I can't. I can't do 3 that.
Or 3.
Yeah, I don't.
As an outfielder, you always went with the 3 being the outside
isn't
fingers.
Isn't this the Hardy Boys?
Yes, and various other things.
It's something else?
Yeah.
Oh. So I probably shouldn't do that.
No, it's not bad. It's something you would find on Urban Dictionary, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Yeah. So I'm done with that. I think that as an outfielder, what you always did was you did it like this. You did it with the 3 outside fingers in the hand, and you did it with the 3 outside fingers of the hand so that when you flash it to the other side of the outfield, it wasn't confused with it being a 2. 2 down, 2 down, 2 down. You got to go 3 down so that way it's up and clear to your fellow outfielders so that they don't blow it as the White Sox did the other day and have an outfielder, I guess in this case a base runner, who thought that there were 2 outs and took off running to third on a routine fly, and then got thrown out at first to lose the game.
Come on, there are no errors in Major League Baseball. We keep talking about either getting a championship belt or some big trophy that we can keep putting plates on. We got to do that.
I concur.
I
concur.
Championship
completely.
Belts are pretty expensive, but you know, we get to keep adding plates to it. I mean,
true
why
story.
Not?
True story. All right, we got a lot we got to get to. Do want to point out, does Lonzo.
Could you at least mention that we've been nominated?
Oh, I'm about to.
All right.
I'm not done.
It sounded like you were moving on.
No, not at all.
You know, every hour it needs to be announced because there are people, coming and going. You know,
correct.
We want them to know.
For those of you that have not yet heard, the Great One has gotten us nominated for a station record 3 South Carolina Broadcasters Association Star Awards this year. Lonzo and I have been nominated for the 3rd time for Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. I have been nominated for Sports Broadcaster of the Year for the 2nd time, and for the 1st time, as far as I know, of any morning show on this station.
Well, we're the first morning show.
Shush. You don't have to say that.
Well, then you shouldn't say as far as you know, because you do know.
Yeah, but it sounds better and more humble that way.
Yeah, what do we need that for?
As far as I know, the first morning show on the Fan Upstate in any iteration of it, Lonzo and I have been nominated for Morning Show Personality or Team of the Year. So 3 Star Awards are we nominated for. And hopefully, we'll be coming back with more gold than silver. But we will find out come early August. And the only thing that anybody cares about, the theme this year, I'm very excited about it, is a garden party. It's going to be delightful. I can't wait.
Even the way you said it, a garden party. Okay, fine, whatever.
Well, because it's the opposite of garden party, right? Like, that's not the mood.
I feel like I could probably dress better for that kind of garden party.
That's not the mood. That's not the vibe.
Has anybody out there other than Rob ever been to a garden party?
If you haven't, you're missing out.
Okay, well, not
missing out.
Not all of us are fancy and frou-frou.
You do not have to be frou-frou to enjoy a garden party.
You do.
No, you don't.
Frou-frou.
No, you don't. You just got to be not a degenerate for 30 minutes. And the drinks are incredible. Garden party food, untouchable. All right? Big fan. Little cucumber sandwiches. Can't beat it.
Hey, I'm a Neanderthal. We don't do frou-frou.
It's not frou-frou.
You seem pretty emotional about it. It looks frou-frou to me. I sent you a picture. Is that not frou-frou?
That is not frou-frou.
That
is comfort at its best.
I went out and then I went to bed and I didn't have to change.
Big fan of that. All right. So, not frou-frou. Very enjoyable.
Oh, Marcus. What an idea. What an idea. That almost trumps mine.
It's real close.
Yeah,
it's real close. I it is everything.
We can't do it because there'll be the Tweedledee Tweedledum jokes, and I'm going to be Tweedledum, and I don't want to do that.
I do have to say, Marcus suggested we go as garden gnomes, and I got to tell you, a pair of 6 foot tall gnomes rolling up into the two tallest guys in the room.
I ain't walking on my knees to pretend like I'm.
No. I'm just going as a tall garden gnome. I don't hate it. I really don't. I can't tell you what the other one is going to be. I will tell you, for those of you that are fans of The Office, very close to going is Dwight Schrute from when he threw a garden party. Very close to going is Dwight Schrute from his garden party. I think would be spectacular.
I'm going to have to go home and watch videos of garden parties to try to find out.
I've already showed you. I showed you this morning in the Fortress of Nerditude.
Yeah, listen, I like to get multiple sources. Not saying that you're not the ultimate source. I just want some other sources.
I am trying to talk Lonzo into matching hot pink suits with a fern motif on them.
I'm willing to listen. I'm not against wearing pink. Used to wear it all the time. So I'm not that guy who won't wear pink. I have a problem with that.
I'm gonna start the GoFundMe this afternoon to get Lonzo in a hot pink suit with ferns on it.
Really, it comes down to money. It does. You've seen me. Dude, there's no more showing out than going as a mime.
I don't care.
I mean, it just... And by the way, those onesies, I would never wear one of those either. So, I mean...
No one asked you to.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. They're not made for people with long torsos. So, I mean, you know, there's that.
If I gotta go, right, I'm not trying to get in the buff in the bathroom, dude.
So, what's the boss wearing for the garden party?
That's a great question.
I mean, you know,
that's a great question.
He like me, does not look like someone who frequents a garden party. I mean, as far as how he dresses.
Boss man, if you are listening right now, we need to know what's your motif for the garden party this year.
Hey, you think we could get Snowman to dress up as a gnome?
He's nominated for a couple. He'll be there.
Well, maybe. I mean,
do you think we could?
Maybe he won't be there. Maybe a gnome will be there.
Do we think we could trick him into it? Or do you think?
Oh, there's no tricking him. He's clever than both of us put together. It's not going to work.
Do you get to sip on mint juleps at garden parties? You do. You do. 100%. A mint julep is a wonderful garden party cocktail.
That's what I said. Joe on the stream, by the way, we're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X. I is basically saying Rob could just wear what he's wearing to his wedding. He can wear what's in his closet.
Yeah, but I can't.
It's all in his closet. Everything in his closet would work except for the jerseys.
I can't rock the wedding suit to an event before the wedding, right? Like, if it was post, yeah, I absolutely could. But I can't do it before. That being said,
Seersucker doesn't work for a guy of my size.
Seersucker works for everybody. I want you to go watch any movie in the genre of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? There's always an old fat white bad guy, dude, and he's always in Seersucker.
What?
Like, that movie's great, by the way.
Like Boss Hogg?
Yes. Yes.
So you want me to dress like Boss Hogg?
Boss Hogg, I don't think he wore Seersucker, but Seersucker fits for guys like Boss Hogg, yes.
Okay, I just, I don't, I don't, I don't want to wear a suit that has sucker in the name. That's just that's okay, also a part. I just don't.
Lonzo's got weird reasons.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Yes. Mint juleps, absolutely perfect. Lilac lemon drop martinis, phenomenal. Little rhubarb rosemary daiquiri, untouchable.
Lilac lemon drop.
Yeah. Strawberry gin and tonic. I'm not a gin guy. You throw me a little fruit pop in there, then I'm in.
Nothing says frou-frou like fruit pop.
I mean, again, it's not my fault that I have a well-rounded and excellent taste.
I also have joked that I decided for the entire evening when we're at the garden party that I'm just going to talk like this. Hey, Rob Brown, it's time for us to take the stage and take the trophy. Hello, all you fine people. Thank you for nominating us for this wonderful award.
First off, they don't let us talk. We've tried.
No.
They can't stop me from wooing again, though.
I just want to point out there is a microphone up there. I've only heard one person speak on that microphone.
Yeah, but
and he's down the hall.
I'm not trying to get permanently disinvited from this thing. I'd like to be invited back. What I can tell you this year is they're catching a handful of from the stage. We hit a Ric Flair woo. I think we did the Outsiders
once. Here's the thing. If we're wearing some sort of suit, we should style and profile.
That's all I do. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I wore red sequins last
year.
Although
I'm afraid with my hair, I look more like Jeff Jarrett than I would Ric Flair.
Just put it in a bun. Put it in a bun. You'll look great.
That only happened one time.
Oh, a pineapple gimlet. That sounds delicious.
What the heck's a gimlet?
It's a drink. I mean, you won't have one, but it's a drink and it's delightful.
Actually, James, I would look more like Daddy. From Smokey and the Bandit, the two guys that were sending them on the trip, they're both wore all white. One of them was Paul Williams, who sang the song "I Go Crazy," and the other one was a real tall dude. Oh, maybe I can get Snowman to do that. Although it might look
no, Snowman's going as a garden gnome or nothing. I'm committed to that idea.
I want to be there when you ask him because I'm not going to
literally after the show.
I'm not going to deal with that kind of
literally after the show.
His glare will hurt your kneecaps.
Look at this. The Madre is listening. Look at the first one she sent me. One I literally already showed you this morning.
Yeah, I already saw that too.
Already found it. The 70s floral motif is untouchable.
The problem is it's a little subdued for you.
It is. It's a little quiet.
It's not showy enough.
We'll figure it out. All right. Sports. U.S. 2-0 win over Bolivia last night in the first action in group play of the Copa America. Good win for the Americans. Couple of things I think need to be improved on. Play out of the back is going to have to be better. Passing out of the back is going to have to be better. It got a little sloppy. It got a little disjointed in certain spots. And those things are fine when you're playing Bolivia. Probably okay when you're playing Panama. Not good enough to play Uruguay. Not good enough to play Brazil, Argentina, Chile, the best teams out of the best teams across the Americas. What I will say is that the philosophy, the style of play last night was much better than it was against Colombia when we got dropped 5-1 the other day. There were two primary things I wanted to see the Americans accomplish in this tournament. One of them was find a striker, find a nine, find a goal scorer, find that guy, find your Michael Jordan, find the guy that when you're in a close game late in a match, there's a guy that you know, this is the dude that it's takeover time. This is the dude that says, give me the damn ball. This is the guy that takes over. We don't have that guy right now. And I know Pulisic got another one yesterday. Good. You got to rely on him for now until you find that guy. But I do not think I can explain to you how much better a Christian Pulisic, a Gio Reyna, a Yusuf Muna, how much better these guys that we are relying on for goals right now are going to look when you are not relying on them for goals. You are just setting up opportunities through them and then having space created for finishes from them. We did not see that yesterday. The other thing I wanted to see us accomplish in this tournament, I think we did accomplish. Don't change the philosophy. Press, attack, throw numbers forward. Allow your best athletes, allow your best athletes to out-athlete their best athletes. There are only a few teams in this tournament that can out-athlete us. Actually, there's none that can out-athlete us. There are only a few tournament teams that have good enough soccer players that can negate our out-athleticking them. Does that make sense? Like, we are the most athletic team in this tournament. However, being athletic doesn't necessarily translate to playing the game well. And while there are a lot of teams that we can out-athlete and are good enough, like Bolivia, and are good enough that we can just throw athletes at them and know that goals are coming, it is not that way against Argentina, against Brazil, against Uruguay. It's not that way against those teams. So press the attack. Keep the numbers forward. Maintain that 70% possession rate that we had yesterday on their side of the field. Make sure that if we are going to lose, we're going to lose because outrageously talented international soccer players make outrageously talented soccer plays to beat us. That's the thought. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back here in a minute, I got two things I want to get to. Number one, the Carolina Panthers vote on stadium renovations is taking place tonight. An $800 million renovation plan founded through a combination of taxpayer money and David Tepper's money. The proposal from the city, $650 million from hospitality taxes, funds that must be earmarked for tourism-related projects towards the stadium. David Tepper going to throw in $150 million plus an estimated $421 million in stadium upkeep over the next 20 years. We'll talk about that. Reggie Jackson, MLB Hall of Famer, MLB legend, told a story before the game last week at Rickwood Field. I got an email a few days ago that asked me why, not combative, but asked me why I was going on about that Rickwood Field game and why I was so impressed by it, etc. I'm going to play you the audio from Reggie Jackson. It's a little uncomfortable. And it is the reason that we did that game and continue to celebrate aspects of baseball history. We'll do that for you when we come back on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. So David Tepper started a tax, a hedge fund, pardon me, and he got that bag. Like a lot of bags. To the tune of an estimated $20 billion. Lots of money. David Tepper has asked the city of Charlotte for mucho dinero in order to renovate Bank of America Stadium. Now, as I pointed out to Rashad Beard last Thursday, David Tepper has not yet threatened to move the team out of Charlotte. But that threat hangs in the air.
And Rashad Beard, who is very in tune with what's going on in Charlotte, said he didn't recall ever hearing him say that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, this is something that I promise you, the minute Tepper even traipses into the territory of sounding like he's threatening to move the team, it's going to become front page news across the entire NFL world, but also across the legal world. We talked about it last week. The Chiefs and the Royals asked Kansas City, Missouri, to update Arrowhead Stadium and Royals Park, the name of which I don't know off the top of my head. What is the name of the stadium the Royals play in? It is, of course, Kauffman Stadium, as we all knew.
I know someone who does, and they're very disappointed in you right now.
I don't know what to tell you. So, they asked Kansas City, Missouri, for more money. The state of Missouri said no, said absolutely not. And the state of Kansas, of which half of Kansas City is in, the state of Kansas, last week saw their legislative body in a bipartisan move draft up legislation that would do what the Chiefs and the Royals asked, get them a brand new stadium. Now, do I think that either the Chiefs or the Royals are leaving Kansas City, Missouri to go? No, I do not. But it is absolutely a leverage move. And more importantly, it also shows that there is bipartisan support in certain states and municipalities that are willing to shake hands over the aisle to get the benefits of having a pro sports team in their hood.
Pretty sure I saw that the that governor signed it. Remember we were...
Yep, that was the one hurdle left to be cleared. Was would the governor sign it? And she said at the time that she thought it was a great idea, et cetera. So it wasn't really a question mark of if, but when, and she apparently has signed that. So TEP has not yet hung the threat of relocation on this as of now, but it is a tool in the toolkit should he decide to get dramatic down the line. David Tepper has asked the city of Charlotte for $650 million from hospitality taxes, which are funds that must be earmarked for tourism-related projects. I went and I looked up the numbers because I was very interesting. The amount of money that David Tepper is asking for from the city is roughly, Lonzo, roughly 4.75 times the amount of money that the city takes in hospitality taxes in any given year. They made about 100, I'm real bad at math, but I think I'm pretty close on this one. They made about $130 million in hospitality taxes last annual budget, according to multiple sources in Charlotte. So about $130 million, you scale that up four and a half times, you get to around the amount of money Tepper's asking for. On the flip side, the $650 million that he is asking for in agreement with $150 million that he would put up front, plus $421 million in stadium upkeep over the span of the 20-year we won't leave arrangement, works out to be, great one, 0.02% of David Tepper's total net worth.
Point what?
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
0.02%.
That's not very much.
Not 2%. Not 0.2%. 0.02% of David Tepper's net worth is what he's asking for, or is what he is putting on the table in this deal. That works out to be more than the $650 million he is asking for. That $650 million, of course, would be spread out over the lifetime of the 20-year deal, as would David Tepper's slightly more than 50% match in stadium upkeep over the span. Of course, Charlotte does have the opportunity to have concerts and shows and events come through and use BOA, as well as all of the tourism dollars that that would generate. And if this stadium turns out looking as nice as the initial concept proposal looked, then I would assume there will likely be an uptick in the number of large national touring musicians predominantly that would host shows there. If you could get Taylor Swift to do a three-show set in Charlotte, you are talking tens of millions of dollars coming in from the Swifties. So is that worth it when David Tepper is forking over 0.02% of his wealth? That'd be like Lonzo and I going in for a dime, 0.02% of our wealth, All right. The vote on this is coming tonight.
The dime's kind of steep. That's a good portion of my check, Rob. I don't know.
I mean, welcome to radio, baby. The vote is set for this evening. The Charlotte City Council will vote on that approval this evening. And I'll tell you, I would frankly be pretty shocked if they don't approve this. I would frankly be pretty shocked if they don't approve. I absolutely do think that this is going to be approved. And I think this is going to be approved largely because of what just happened last week in Kansas City. I think this is going to be largely approved because if Charlotte votes no on this, then two things happen. Number one, you're going to have other areas that want a team, and there are plenty, that are going to start immediately putting together their legislation to give Dave Tepper exactly when he wants to go there, because even though it is a grand total of 0.02% of his wealth, billionaires do not become billionaires by voluntarily separating themselves from their money.
I don't think it passes.
Why not?
Because people don't want to vote for this kind of thing anymore. And we'll see.
I mean, we'd say that, but Kansas City literally just did, less than a week ago.
No. They voted on a hypothetical. The Chiefs are not going to leave Missouri to go to Kansas. They're just not.
I mean, if Missouri says no, you're not getting a stadium out of us, and the ownership of the Kansas City Chiefs says a billionaire and his money are not soon parted, and Kansas City says, we'll build you Arrowhead Volume 2.0, and we will charge you nothing for it. Yeah, there's a chance they leave, especially since they don't even have to leave the city.
I don't know the political makeup of that area. Still stuck on Southern talk in my head. I'm not talking about Charlotte. I'm talking about in Kansas City. There's no way this passes.
I'm not going to push on the train of thought, but I am going to disagree on the outcome. And part of the reason why.
We are coming at this from two different sides of a coin, if you will, and I don't think it will pass.
I would be, because this becomes a budget discussion. Right. And I will say that while I consider myself tuned in to political happenings, regardless of my stance on them, it becomes a budget thing. And I do not know Charlotte's budget. I do not know what percentage annually of the $130 million and growing dollar annual hospitality tax collection will be earmarked every year to pay back the loan on building or renovating Bank of America Stadium. I also can say for certain, I don't know that the political leanings of any municipality matter, again, dating back to the most recent case that we have, which is Kansas City, where the Kansas City and Kansas legislature, which is largely bipartisan, hand in hand agreed to put together a package to try to lure the Chiefs and the Royals over the other side. Why would they do that? Because then all of the businesses that are benefited by having an NFL and an MLB team playing next door to each other are on the Kansas side, which means all that money comes out of the hands of fans and into the Kansas budget, not the Missouri budget. So it is one of those things where I understand that there are different politically philosophical leanings about whether this is the right decision or not, but 90% of these are going to almost always come down to, do we believe that this team will bring in more than they take out to renovate the stadium? And the answer on this one is, I don't have any clue.
No, they will not. I mean, if we go by recent, as far as the team goes, they make more money from people coming out of town to come to the stadium. I know you make money from concerts and things like that, but where are they going to go, Rob? I mean, who wants this team right now? They are my favorite team in the NFC. I am a Panther fan also. Where are they going? Where are they going? If he throws it out there, we'll move the team. maybe some people will go, okay, what are you doing with the team now? They ain't won in forever.
You,
go ahead and take them.
You and Diesel, in my opinion, make a mistake when it comes to these conversations in that you attach the team's on-the-field record to the outcome as opposed to looking at numbers
about,
and budget.
You were talking about revenue.
Correct.
Do you not? I'm not very smart. Do you not make more money when your stadium's full? Do you not make more money when you make more money when your stadium's full, right?
Yes, and here's the
thing. When's the last time that stadium was full?
When Dallas came through last year and packed it out. And do you know what all those Dallas fans bring? Dollar bills, y'all, that then they go into the city and they stay at hotels and they eat at restaurants and they do all the activities and the whatever, and it pumps money into the hospitality fund.
Then they play another team that's bad. And what it's just no, it's not going to pass. There's
Listen,
no way.
No if way. NFL teams weren't profitable, NFL owners wouldn't own teams. It really is. That is the simplest line of thought. If this wasn't a money making endeavor, even when teams are bad, NFL owners, billionaires, hedge fund managers wouldn't own them.
All right. So according to what Joe says, all that money, that tax money would go towards doing that. You got to really love the team to want your tax money to do that. How many people love that team right now?
I think that, again, it is less about supporting the Carolina Panthers and more what can we do to get people to come here and spend money. And an NFL team, even if you only fill the stadium halfway, brings people to your stadium. It also allows you to host Taylor Swift concerts. It also allows you to, fingers crossed if you're David Tepper, host the Super Bowl down the line, which would bring millions and millions and millions in. There's a lot more than just, I need the Panthers to be 7-10 before I give money. No, I need concerts. I need bowl games. I need events. These all bring money, and that all go towards it. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Last week, Major League Baseball played a game between the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants at historic Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Of course, the site of not just the oldest active ballpark in the United States, but also on top of that, a place that has been fully ingrained in the Negro Leagues for a century plus, right? So they had some of the Negro League icons out there, as well as some of the most recognizable and historic black players ever. Ken Griffey Jr. was there. Barry Bonds, obviously the godchild of Willie Mays, was there to celebrate as this game took place just a day and a half after the passing of one of the greatest players of all time, Willie Mays. Well, Reggie Jackson was there. You may know Reggie Jackson as Mr. October. You gotta be a bona fide G and a certified stud to have them say that you are Mr. an entire month. It's pretty impressive. And a month that has all 31 days. Mr. this whole month. When you say this month in the land of sports, you're the guy that's Mr. That. When you say October, you think about Reggie Jackson, one of the greats, one of the all-timers, as a member of the Kansas City and Oakland A's, the Baltimore Orioles, the New York Yankees, the California Angels, the Oakland A's again, a 14-time All-Star, a five-time World Series champ, the AL MVP from 1973, a two-time World Series MVP in 73 and 77, a two-time Silver Slugger Award winner, a four-time American League home run leader, an AL RBI leader in 73. He's had his number retired by two teams, the A's and the Yankees. Reggie Jackson got in with 94% of the Hall of Fame vote on his very first ballot. And I would also say anyone who did not vote Mr. October in on the first ballot is one of those jackasses who goes, nobody deserves to be in on the first ballot because it's a sacred Hall of Fame. Shut up, nerd. Shut up, nerd. Where's my daggum clip? Where is it? I need it. There it is. Well, Rich Jackson also grew up in a home where his father played in the Negro Leagues and where he got his start playing. And before the game at Rickwood, Reggie Jackson told a story about growing up. I got an email last week, towards the end of the week, when I spent a couple of segments talking about that game. Not but a couple of weeks before that, I'd spent a handful of segments talking about how excited I was that the Negro League record books were being incorporated into Major League Baseball's record books. When I moved here, when I was a kid, I told this story, and I'll tell it again very quickly, nuts and bolts format. When I was a kid growing up, I had heard all about the great players, the Babe Ruths and the Lou Gehrigs, et cetera, the Ted Williams from back in the day. And Willie Mays was always in that group to the point that I grew up largely thinking Willie Mays was a white guy. I did not know about the history of Willie Mays. And then my grandpa once said, Willie Mays was a black guy. He was a black guy. You need to learn about Willie Mays. And I did. And then when I moved here and I started diving more into the history of the Negro Leagues across the South, I got more and more intrigued. Somebody said, why are we spending so much time on this, Rob? Not in a negative way, not in like a don't do this way, just a question of genuine curiosity, which I appreciated. And my answer was, because it was a pretty shameful era of baseball's history where a lot of great players were prevented from playing at the highest level because of their skin color and no other reason. And I heard a lot of people saying over the course of the last couple of weeks, oh, we're putting too much emphasis on it. It's over, right? It's over. We're not, there's no more segregation. We're over it. Yeah. I still think it's important to talk about. And Reggie sat there on the stage with Big Poppy and Alex Rodriguez, and he told this story. That's why. I think to celebrate players like Willie Mays, to celebrate players like Reggie Jackson, to celebrate players who went through an era of baseball that was nothing short of disgusting, filthy, gross, shameful, a dark, dark stain on a sport that we love. To celebrate the players who went through that, to celebrate the players and the managers and the fans and the coaches who helped them get through that when they were in the minority of people that wanted to accept that and continued to persevere in a way that brought us to where we are now. In a way that brought us to a spot where we can say baseball is for everybody. I think it deserves to be celebrated. I think Major League Baseball did a spectacular job putting it together. I think they did a spectacular job putting on a show, making it feel like it was actually a tribute. I thought they did a spectacular job having some of the legends of that day join in and get to be a part of a festivity because, frankly, in my opinion, those players are owed a lifetime's worth of apologies for what happened to them. That's not saying anybody alive today. Well, there are people alive today who were responsible for it. Let's be very clear. There's a lot of grandpappies out there that were responsible for what Reggie Jackson just talked about. But no one alive today was responsible for the actions of the people back then. However, it does not mean that an apology is not due to those players. The ones that are still with us and the ones that are not, especially as the ones that are with us are aging out of life. I think it is important that you have those moments to celebrate. I think it's important that you have those moments to apologize and to put those players on a pedestal for going through that crap so that we could get baseball to where it is today, and I will be thankful for that forever.
Now I have to try to be funny. Thanks. The first thing that's axing is Jordan Love.
Jordan Love catching the trend today. It is because Green Bay Packer fans everywhere are seeing the drama around Jets camp and are going, thank goodness we don't have to put up with that guy. We've got our own all-star. It's Jordan Love.
Nah, that's not why. He proposed to his girlfriend. It looks like in front of a castle. And I don't know if they have castles in Green Bay. They might. You've never been there either.
I mean, I haven't, and I'm not saying there's not like...
It might be in front of his house.
By the
way, his house might be a castle.
As an aside off of that, if there's a castle, it's a medieval times. And let me be abundantly clear, medieval times kicks ass, dude.
Oh, I love medieval
times. It's awesome. It's awesome. Where else do I watch people actively, legitimately joust while drinking medieval ale from a mug and eating a turkey leg by hand? You want to feel like a dude? Hit a medieval times.
You can buy a horn now. I got one at home.
Even
the
better.
The horn that you can drink out of. Last time I was there, a guy came out and asked me, why are you out here? You're supposed to be in the back.
Even better.
And we had a long conversation. My wife just looked at, she's like, did you know? No, I don't know.
That would have been the best compliment of my life.
Yes, it was. Oh, it was. That's why I will never forget it.
Yeah.
The next thing that's Xing is Dave Grohl.
I do know why Dave Grohl is Xing. Dave Grohl is Xing. Okay, so there's a lot of drama here. Sip the tea. Hang out with me. A couple of weeks ago, there's a big hit on Taylor Swift right now because Taylor Swift's out there pushing for global climate change. Good. But also, she logs more miles in her private jet than like every other person in America combined. It's pretty ridiculous. Well, Dave Grohl's daughter put out a tweet that said, why can't she just drive like everybody else does? Taylor Swift, the Swifties, then fired back at Grohl's daughter. Well, Grohl on stage at a concert yesterday got on the mic and talked about Tay-Tay. He said she's calling her tour the Eras Tour. We call ours the Errors Tour because we like make a lot of errors, right? Especially because we play our music live, effectively insinuating that Taylor's band and Tay-Tay are backtracking their concerts. And let me just go on and be very, very clear that while I am not anti-Tay-Tay, if I've got to pick a side between Taylor and Dave Grohl, I'm going with America's sweetheart, Dave Grohl.
This is shocking because I thought you would be on Taylor Swift's side.
Dave Grohl has been in not one but two legendary bands. Dave Grohl has been in 1,000 side project bands, which are better than anything your favorite band has ever put out. He has been doing it for 30-plus years and is a phenomenal human being with his philanthropic change that he has been making around the country. Dave Grohl is an American rock and roll God, and I'm Team Tay-Tay, all right? But I'm going to tell you straight up, if you make me pick between the drummer from Nirvana and the frontman of the Foo Fighters or Taylor Swift, I'm throwing up the horns and rocking with Grohl every damn time. America.
Wow. Wow.
By the way, that little buzz you hear in the background, right? You hear that buzz?
Yeah.
That's not interference. That was the vuvuzelas that year overpowering the microphones on the field.
Okay, the last thing that's Xing is Blazing Saddles.
You know, I came home Saturday. I came home Saturday. I got off the air Saturday, and I caught the fiance watching a Gene Wilder documentary, and I don't think I've been in that like that in love in a very long time.
From what I could tell, it's trending for a lot of reasons, but some teenage boys decided to recreate the bean scene.
Yes! Yeah! Those kids and Dave Grohl, today's heroes of the day. You guys have a great rest of your Monday. Enjoy Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Game 3 of the College World Series. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And then whatever other dumb stuff we get into. Lonzo, Rob, the thrice-nominated Sports Talk Show of the Year. The Rob Brown Show is back tomorrow on the Fan Upstate later. Yeah!
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Last week, Major League Baseball played a game between the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants at historic Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Of course, the site of not just the oldest active ballpark in the United States, but also on top of that, a place that has been fully ingrained in the Negro Leagues for a century plus, right? So they had some of the Negro League icons out there, as well as some of the most recognizable and historic black players ever. Ken Griffey Jr. was there. Barry Bonds, obviously the godchild of Willie Mays, was there to celebrate as this game took place just a day and a half after the passing of one of the greatest players of all time, Willie Mays. Well, Reggie Jackson was there. You may know Reggie Jackson as Mr. October. You gotta be a bona fide G and a certified stud to have them say that you are Mr. an entire month. It's pretty impressive. And a month that has all 31 days. Mr. this whole month. When you say this month in the land of sports, you're the guy that's Mr. that. When you say October, you think about Reggie Jackson, one of the greats, one of the all-timers, as a member of the Kansas City and Oakland A's, the Baltimore Orioles, the New York Yankees, the California Angels, the Oakland A's again. A 14-time All-Star, a five-time World Series champ, the AL MVP from 1973, a two-time World Series MVP in 73 and 77, a two-time Silver Slugger Award winner, a four-time American League home run leader, an AL RBI leader in 73. He's had his number retired by two teams, the A's and the Yankees. Reggie Jackson got in with 94% of the Hall of Fame vote on his very first ballot. And I would also say anyone who did not vote Mr. October in on the first ballot is one of those jackasses who goes, nobody deserves to be in on the first ballot because it's a sacred Hall of Fame. Shut up, nerd. Shut up, nerd. Where's my daggum clip? Where is it? I need it. There it is. Well, Reggie Jackson also grew up in a home where his father played in the Negro Leagues and where he got his start playing. And before the game at Rickwood, Reggie Jackson told a story about growing up. I got an email last week, towards the end of the week, when I spent a couple of segments talking about that game. Not but a couple of weeks before that, I'd spent a handful of segments talking about how excited I was that the Negro League record books were being incorporated into Major League Baseball's record books. When I moved here, when I was a kid, I told this story, and I'll tell it again very quickly, nuts and bolts format. When I was a kid growing up, I had heard all about the great players, the Babe Ruths and the Lou Gehrigs, et cetera, the Ted Williams from back in the day. And Willie Mays was always in that group to the point that I grew up largely thinking Willie Mays was a white guy. I did not know about the history of Willie Mays. And then my grandpa once said, Willie Mays was a black guy. He was a black guy. You need to learn about Willie Mays. And I did. And then when I moved here and I started diving more into the history of the Negro Leagues across the South, I got more and more intrigued. Somebody said, why are we spending so much time on this, Rob? Not in a negative way, not in like a don't do this way, just a question of genuine curiosity, which I appreciated. And my answer was, because it was a pretty shameful era of baseball's history where a lot of great players were prevented from playing at the highest level because of their skin color and no other reason. And I heard a lot of people saying over the course of the last couple of weeks, oh, we're putting too much emphasis on it. It's over, right? It's over. We're not. There's no more segregation. We're over it. Dad, I still think it's important to talk about. And Reggie sat there on the stage with Big Poppy and Alex Rodriguez, and he told this story. That's why. I think to celebrate players like Willie Mays, to celebrate players like Reggie Jackson, to celebrate players who went through an era of baseball that was nothing short of disgusting, filthy, gross, shameful, a dark stain on a sport that we love. To celebrate the players who went through that, to celebrate the players and the managers and the fans and the coaches who helped them get through that when they were in the minority of people that wanted to accept that and continued to persevere in a way that brought us to where we are now. In a way that brought us to a spot where we can say baseball is for everybody. I think it deserves to be celebrated. I think Major League Baseball did a spectacular job putting it together. I think they did a spectacular job putting on a show, making it feel like it was actually a tribute. I thought they did a spectacular job having some of the legends of that day join in and get to be a part of a festivity because, frankly, in my opinion, those players are owed a lifetime's worth of apologies for what happened to them. That's not saying anybody alive today. Well, there are people alive today who were responsible for it. Let's be very clear. There's a lot of grandpappies out there that were responsible for what Reggie Jackson just talked about. But no one alive today was responsible for the actions of the people back then. However, it does not mean that an apology is not due to those players. The ones that are still with us and the ones that are not, especially as the ones that are with us are aging out of life. I think it is important that you have those moments to celebrate. I think it's important that you have those moments to apologize and to put those players on a pedestal for going through that crap so that we could get baseball to where it is today, and I will be thankful for that forever.
Now I have to try to be funny. Thanks. The first thing that's axing is Jordan Love.
Jordan Love catching the trend today. It is because Green Bay Packer fans everywhere are seeing the drama around Jets camp and are going, thank goodness we don't have to put up with that guy. We've got our own all-star. It's Jordan Love.
Nah, that's not why. He proposed to his girlfriend. It looks like in front of a castle. And I don't know if they have castles in Green Bay. They might. You've never been there either.
I mean, I haven't, and I'm not saying there's not like...
It might be in front of his house. By the way, his house might be a castle.
As an aside off of that, if there's a castle, it's a medieval times, and let me be abundantly clear, medieval times kicks ass, dude.
Oh, I love medieval
times. It's awesome. It's awesome. Where else do I watch people actively, legitimately joust while drinking medieval ale from a mug and eating a turkey leg by hand? You want to feel like a dude? Hit a medieval time.
You can buy a horn now. I got one at home.
Even
better. The horn that you can drink out of. Last time I was there, a guy came out and asked me, why are you out here? You're supposed to be in the back.
Even better.
We had a long conversation. My wife just looked at, she's like, did you know? No, I don't know.
That would have been
guy.
The best compliment of my life.
Yes, it was. Oh, it was. That's why I will never forget it. Yeah. The next thing that's Xing is Dave Grohl.
I do know why Dave Grohl is Xing. Dave Grohl is Xing. Okay, so there's a lot of drama here. Sip the tea. Hang out with me. A couple of weeks ago, you know, there's a big hit on Taylor Swift right now because Taylor Swift's out there pushing for global climate change. Good. But also, she logs more miles in her private jet than like every other person in America combined. It's pretty ridiculous. Well, Dave Grohl's daughter put out a tweet that said, why can't she just drive like everybody else does? Taylor Swift, the Swifties, then fired back at Grohl's daughter. Well, Grohl on stage at a concert yesterday got on the mic and talked about Tay-Tay. He said she's calling her tour the Eras Tour. We call ours the Errors Tour because we like make a lot of errors, right? Especially because we play our music live, effectively insinuating that Taylor's band and Tay-Tay are backtracking their concerts. And let me just go on and be very, very clear that while I am not anti-Tay-Tay, if I've got to pick a side between Taylor and Dave Grohl, I'm going with America's sweetheart, Dave Grohl.
This is shocking because I thought you would be on Taylor Swift's side.
Dave Grohl has been in not one but two legendary bands. Dave Grohl has been in 1,000 side project bands, which are better than anything your favorite band has ever put out. He has been doing it for 30-plus years and is a phenomenal human being with his philanthropic change that he has been making around the country. Dave Grohl is an American rock and roll God, and I'm Team Tay-Tay, all right? But I'm going to tell you straight up, if you make me pick between the drummer from Nirvana and the frontman of the Foo Fighters or Taylor Swift, I'm throwing up the horns and rocking with Grohl every damn time. America.
Wow. Wow.
By the way, that little buzz you hear in the background, right? You hear that buzz?
Yeah.
That's not interference. That was the vuvuzelas that year overpowering the microphones on the field.
Okay, the last thing that's Xing is Blazing Saddles.
You know, I came home Saturday. I came home Saturday. I got off the air Saturday, and I caught the fiance watching a Gene Wilder documentary, and I don't think I've been in that like that in love in a very long time.
From what I could tell, it's trending for a lot of reasons, but some teenage boys decided to recreate the bean scene.
Yes! Yeah! Those kids and Dave Grohl, today's heroes of the day. You guys have a great rest of your Monday. Enjoy Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Game 3 of the College World Series. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And then whatever other dumb stuff we get into. Lonzo, Rob, the thrice-nominated Sports Talk Show of the Year. The Rob Brown Show is back tomorrow on the Fan Upstate. Later. Yeah!
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.